Hey everybody, it's Here's Me Podcast with Mike Petrullo. We're on, as you guys probably know by now, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. He's teaching us what the rich teach their kids about money and the poor and middle class do not. Today we're on Chapter 3, what he calls Lesson 3. It's got a nice punchy headline. It's called Mind Your Own Business. And it says, the rich focus on their asset columns while everyone else focuses on their income statements. So at the beginning of this, I am going to go through the summary. It's not a very big chapter, but I want to read the whole part of this because I think it's pretty catchy and it has a really good lesson. So in 1974, Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, was asked to speak to the MBA class at the University of Texas at Austin. A friend of mine was a student in that MBA class. After a powerful and inspiring talk, the class adjourned and the students asked Ray if he would join them in their favorite hangout to have a few beers. Ray graciously accepted. What business am I in? Ray asked, once the group had all their beers in hand. Everyone laughed, my friend said. Most of the MBA students thought Ray was just fooling around. No one answered, so Ray asked again, what business do you think I'm in? The students laughed again, and finally one brave soul yelled out, Ray, who in the world doesn't know that you're in the hamburger business? Ray chuckled, that's what I thought you would say. He paused and then quickly added, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not in the hamburger business. My business is real estate. As my friend tells the story, Ray spent a good amount of time explaining his viewpoint. In his business plan, Ray knew that the primary business focus was to sell hamburger franchises. But what he never lost sight of was the location of each franchise. And I'll stop right there, guys. Think about that now around your own town. Look at where those McDonald's are. You know, do I think Ray, you know, actually, I'm not sure if he's still living, but do I think Ray oversees every decision for a franchisee as far as location? No, but I can generally say McDonald's still holds true to that. They usually have the best spots. Even in Tokyo, one of the main drags there, if you see all those videos where everyone's crossing the junction, like eight-way traffic, there's a McDonald's right on that corner there. And I'll tell you what, you get the same burger there as you do in, you know, Arkansas, U.S., or whatever, wherever you're at, Seattle for us. But anyway, he knew that the land and its location were the most significant factors in the success of each franchise. Basically, the person who bought the franchise was also buying the real estate under the franchise for Ray Kroc's organization. So think about that. Real estate owner. Today, McDonald's is the largest single owner of real estate in the world, owning even more than the Catholic Church. McDonald's owns some of the most valuable intersections and street corners in America and around the globe, just like I was saying, in Tokyo. And they're still growing. You know, even through all this time, they're still growing. It's still a good business, and franchising is not a bad idea, guys. You know, that'll be a whole different conversation. But so one thing here, it goes on to say, actually, you know what I'm going to do first, because I didn't do this last time and I regretted it. I'd like to go over a few terms on the top of the show. So a couple term definitions. One is bond. So a bond is a debt security in which the authorized issuer owes the holders a debt and is obliged to repay the principal and interest at a later debt, termed maturity. So you buy a bond, over time it's going to mature, and then you'll accrue interest during that time until a certain point, and then you can cash it in. Entrepreneur, I know a lot of you know this, a lot of you are entrepreneurs. Someone who creates a system to offer a product or service in order to obtain a profit. Entrepreneurs are willing to accept a level of risk to pursue opportunity and are viewed as fundamentally important in the capitalistic society. Very true. Financial statement, I think we saw this in the last chapter, a statement of your income, expenses, assets, and liabilities. It's your report card when you leave school and what your banker wants to see before lending you money. So super simplified would be your credit score, you know what I mean? But this goes a little bit more. This is, weighs all of your assets and liabilities. And then stock is the final definition for this chapter, the capital raised by a corporation through the distribution of shares. So, all right, so I'm going to go on. There's a couple kind of quotes I want to read here. If we don't cover them in the summary section, I'm going to go back and read them. But go ahead and start here, and I'm going to reread that McDonald's section because, again, I really, really, I think that's a cool idea. So a friend of Robert's got to hear Ray Kroc, McDonald's fame, speak in 1974 at the University of Texas at Austin. Afterward, Ray agreed to join the students at their favorite hangout for a few beers. He asked the students what business he was in. At first, they laughed, and then they answered that he was in the business of selling hamburgers. Ray told them he was not in the hamburger business, but in the real estate business. He knew that the land and location of each franchise were the most significant factors in its success. And it says today's, you know, largest real estate owner in the world. Robert's friend took that lesson to heart and today owns car washes, but his business is the real estate under those car washes. So many people work for everyone else, their employer, the government through taxes, and the bank through mortgages, things like that, debt. What Ray Kroc and Rich Dad knew was secret number three of the rich is mind your business. Don't spend your whole life working for someone else. So they're going to cover this pretty soon, guys, but I want you to have this idea in your head while I'm reading through it. Just because you have a job, your job is not your business, or at least it shouldn't be. So start minding your own business. Keep your daytime job, but start buying real assets and not liabilities, right? Like we talked last time. So yeah, have your daytime job. That's your income, at least for now, right? You need that. But start building your business on the side everywhere you can, little by little. That's the key. Cool. So there is a big difference between your profession and your business. Of course, we'll go right into it. Often Robert will ask people, what is your business? And they will say, oh, I'm a banker. Then he asks them if they own the bank. And the usual respond, no, I work there. In that instance, they have confused their profession with their business. Their profession may be a banker, but they still need their own business, just what we're talking about. Too many people spend their lives minding someone else's business and making them rich. Minding your business doesn't mean starting a company, though. For some people, it will. Instead, your business revolves around your asset column, not your income column. Very important. Your business revolves around your asset column, not your income column. So again, you can have your day job, but start building your business, guys. Start building your business everywhere you can. Little stocks, maybe a little investment. And he's going to go through some of the things that he considers to be real assets here in a minute. But promotions or a better job will only help you become more financially secure if the additional money is used to purchase income-generating assets. Big flag right there. We just talked about it last chapter. Is we all can look and turn the lens on ourselves and say, every time you got a promotion, did you get a little something nicer? Did you treat yourself? Did you get a little bit nicer car? What he's saying and what we should be doing is put that all that money away. Keep the lifestyle the same. You already been living it. Keep it the same and start building your business. Start building your assets. That's how you're going to get out of the race, the rat race, how you're going to break this cycle. Maybe this cycle has been going on for generations. It's discipline, guys, and delayed gratification, which is something that we're going to talk about a lot. I actually was talking about Brandon earlier. And this is one of the things he brought up is people don't think about delayed gratification enough. Everything, we want it right now, instant. Give me the large fries. Boom, let's go. They're not worth thinking about their waistline down the road. You guys got to think everything gets interest, whether that's your debt or whether that's your assets, right? Everything has some kind of interest rolling. Very rarely does something stay really at neutral zero. It's usually moving up or moving down. So which side of the fence do you want to be on, right? I know where I want to be. So again, promotions or a better job will only help you become more financially secure if the additional money is used to purchase income-generating assets. Otherwise, you're just getting more debt. The primary reason the majority of the poor and middle class are fiscally conservative is that they have no financial foundation. Like we talked about with the pouring the concrete slab last chapter. They have to cling to their jobs and play it safe. They can't afford to take risks. And when the hard times come, what many people thought were assets will not help them survive a financial crisis. That car has lost much of its value. Those golf clubs, the same. Too often what a bank will allow a person to list as an asset on a financial statement are not true assets. And then here's one for Robert. Robert was once turned down for a loan because the bank didn't like how much money he made from rent and was concerned he didn't have a normal job. But they were fine with him listing suits, listing suits, an art collection, and other personal effects as assets. Net worth isn't the measure that people think it is. Most so-called assets that people base their net worth on either aren't as valuable as they think, or if they have gained value, will trigger taxes on the gains if they are sold, right? So Robert tells people to start minding your own business. Keep your daytime job, but start buying real assets, yep, not liabilities or personal effects that have no real value once you get them home. Keep expenses low, reduce liabilities, and diligently build a base of solid assets. And we talked about it before, and I'm sure they're going to mention it a little bit later. It's not to say, guys, that you're never going to be buying luxuries, but the difference between most of us and the lower and middle class is that we buy the luxuries first. Right? The rich are buying luxuries off the dividends, off the assets, off the money that's already coming in. It doesn't, they don't have to make a tough decision to get their luxuries, right? That's taken care of already. So big one there. So parents, and this is on us guys, parents need to teach young people this before they leave the home so they understand what a true asset is and won't find themselves trapped in a lifestyle of debt. Problem is, guys, your parents didn't have the plethora of information that we have now. At least, you know, they weren't looking for it, didn't know it was there, wasn't taught to them. That's fine. If you're listening to this now, that excuse is gone. You, like I said a little bit earlier, you can break that cycle. This might have been generations and generations of people that were having hard times, that were struggling, that were tough. And it makes for tough people. And I'm not taking anything away from them. What I'm saying is maybe it's time for something different. Maybe you want to be the one to step in and be like, no, this is not enough. This is not enough for me. And I'll tell you what, it's not enough for my kids. So parents need to teach young people before they leave the home so that they understand what a true asset is and won't find themselves trapped in the lifestyle of debt. Robert says real assets fall into the following categories. Businesses that do not require his presence, so it's not sucking up his time. He owns them, but they're managed or run by other people. And if he has to work there, it's not a business, right? If you're working there, what is it? It's a job. Stocks. We talked about stocks. Bonds. We talked about bonds. Income generating real estate. Different than just real estate, right? Real estate that is generating some income. Notes. So like IOUs of some kind. Maybe he's lending out money. Royalties from intellectual properties such as music, scripts, and patents. So again, that's for more creative types, right? But just because you create, you should be moving. Think about, even if you're just even if you are an artist and you don't have the classical sense of like, oh, I'm going to franchise a Subway. Start thinking now of how you can get yourself out there. How can you monetize this? And start putting those, even that investment that we're talking about, you might be the asset in this sense if you're an artist. Start investing in you. Start pushing yourself out there. Realize, hey, I might be great. The greatest, I always say this to my buddies because I play a little bit of music. The greatest guitarist in the world, maybe nobody knows his name, right? Maybe nobody knows his name. Why? No marketing or no drive. You know, he might be playing for a little small town band somewhere. And he is the greatest guitarist in the world, but no one will ever know who he is, right? Start putting in some money to get yourself out there. Cool. Anything else? And then the last one is anything else that has value, produces income, or appreciates and has a steady market. One big one Robert's into, Robert Kiyosaki, is gold. That's something we'll probably talk about later. I know Brandon's very into it when he gets back on here. Acquire assets that you love. And I love this. Require assets that you love. And this is why. Robert loves real estate and thus spends much of his time thinking about and shopping for it. If you don't like real estate, don't invest in it. The reason why, it's twofold, guys. One, you start to get passion involved. And like what we talked about last time, passion is going to bring that push. It's going to bring that creativity. And another one is, if it's an asset, like a physical asset, and you care about it, you're more likely to take care of it. You might know, hey, comic book collections, I can make a lot of money out of that. But you don't care about comics at all. That makes no sense. They're just going to be more boxes of paper with dollar signs on them. You should have some kind of emotional investment. And that's, again, where emotions come in, right? Something you love, he's saying here. Not even something you like, something you love. Because you're way more likely to be into it. You're way more likely to take care of it. You're way more likely to stir up passion. And passion is what people like to see. That's what brings people in. So, okay. Robert also loves the stocks of small startup companies because he himself is an entrepreneur. Some are afraid of the risk of such small cap companies, but he sees these as the place to make fortunes. His strategy is to be out of the stock in a year. His real estate strategy, on the other hand, is to start small and keep trading up for bigger properties. And there's quotations here, and delaying taxes on the gain. That's probably something later we'll talk about and need to get into more. And then he holds real estate for less than 7 years. Even while working for the Marines and Xerox, Robert reminded his own business. He kept his day job, but is active in his asset column, trading real estate and small stocks. The more he understood accounting and cash management, the better he was at analyzing investments and eventually building his own company. He doesn't recommend people start a company unless they really have the desire to. Otherwise, he advises them to keep their day job and mind their business, building and keeping their asset column strong. yeah, so if you guys don't think, hey, I could get down with franchising a KFC, or I have like, I want to make a boutique or you know, a salon or a gallery or whatever. If that just doesn't, like, you don't want that extra to run something, maybe it's just not in you for whatever reason, that's fine. Keep your day job, but start building your assets anyway. Make some investments. Maybe it's just real estate for now, you know, maybe a little piece of land somewhere that maybe it's going to grow. Maybe you find the right buyer. Maybe you find somebody who has a piece, but he wants a piece in a different place. Maybe you trade up, right? That's what Robert did. So he says, as cash flow grows, people can indulge in luxuries and what we talked about before, but only if the cash flow supports them. Build the asset column and let the income generated by those assets pay for the luxuries. What did we say before? The lower and middle class are buying these luxuries first. The rich, it's not a problem. They already got it. They already got the money flowing in. They're paying, they're getting the luxuries with the extra, right? If you got bills and you're buying luxuries, you gotta stop, guys. You gotta say no to yourself, no to your partners, no to your kids, no to your friends, no to the drive to, you know, keep up with the Joneses. You gotta say no. Because guess what? The people that are around you, if they're saying yes to that, they're going to be right where they are. They're not going to break that cycle. You want to break the cycle. That's why we're reading this. And then we got Robert's hemisphere, his brain moments, right? Left hemisphere moment. When assets generate enough income to cover luxuries, that's when you can buy them. Right hemisphere moment. Think creatively about what your business is. It's not your profession, right? Just like the banker. Oh, do you own the bank? Oh, no, I just work there. His profession is being a banker, right? His business should be something else. Subconscious moment. Acquire the type of assets you love because you will take better care of them and enjoy learning about them. Just what we were talking about with the comic books. Don't start collecting comic books if you don't care about comics. Doesn't make any sense. Find something you love. There's someone out there that has value in anything you could think of. There's a market for it, right? You're in that market if you care about it. So someone else is very likely to be too, and you can make an impact on them. Cool. So we're going to go now they do a little bit of like a review on what Robert's trying to say. So I'll go through some of like the bigger quotes in here, and some of them we probably already talked about, but I think they're all really good to reflect on again. So now it's time to reflect. Ask yourself, what is Robert saying in this quote? Why does he say that? In this section, you do not need to agree or disagree with Robert. The goal is to understand what Robert is saying. So here we'll go at the top. So we'll go through each quote and kind of just kind of talk about it. And again, if you guys ever want to leave messages on these, I'd really appreciate it. Any kind of feedback about the podcast, about the content, if you just want to answer a question, all those things are highly appreciated. I want to do what I can, the best that I can to deliver the best content to you. And again, everybody, I really appreciate it. I will read them all. And thank you very much. So to become financially secure, a person needs to mind their own business. Just what we were talking about. If you want to be financially secure, well, we're talking about getting wealth where you're starting to, you know, be able to get that passive income up. You need to mind your own business. Keep your day job, but start building assets. The next one is the rich focus on their assets column while everyone else focuses on their income statements. Now, that is something that is tough because we do have a lot of expenses still that we have to cover with our paycheck. But you got to really boil it down and ask yourself, how much of these things that I'm saying I need, do I really need, right? What are the four pillars? They go like health, you know, health, shelter, food and water. And, you know, you can throw love in there, but, you know, that, you know, can't really buy love, right? Not in the traditional sense. But so, you know, talk about your house, right? Talk about your electric bill, your food bill. And even that food, guys, we all know we stretch that. And I'll guarantee you, if you go through, get an app or get a notebook or something, start writing down how much you actually spend. So many people just think, oh, I only spend, you know, X amount on groceries. Yeah, but you're going out to eat for lunch and dinner. And then you're also spending money on groceries. Start writing these down and keeping track of it, guys. Food, I think, is one of the biggest ones where we stretch and we don't even realize we're doing it. So be honest, too, about it. So financial struggle, next one. Financial struggle is often directly the result of people working all their lives for someone else, right? Many people will simply have nothing at the end of the working days to show off their efforts. And here's me, guys. I've been this. Most of us listening to this probably have. You got to start finding little angles for yourself to start branching out into your own business. Start working for you because you deserve it. You owe it to yourself to be the boss. It doesn't have to be in a major, you know, opening a new Walmart way. You know, it can be something small, but start getting something down where you can be like, I did that. I made that investment. I purchased those stocks. I put my money and my time and my effort and my talent into making some new art, and I displayed it, right? You owe yourself that. You deserve yourself that. Okay, yeah, many people will simply have nothing at the end of their working days to show for their efforts. That's the majority of us, guys. Retirement. You got enough to what? You got enough to die with, right? Just to get you by. You know? That's not enough. That's not enough for us, guys. We want to reach our max potential. You know, that's hopefully why you're listening here. And, you know, and it's not to say that you need a mansion. It's really not. It's to say that you get to the point where you can get your time back. Get your time back under control. Do the things you want to do, right? You can stop there. Some of you are going to go on probably be billionaires and run huge companies and things like that. Some of you just have a nice little cottage somewhere with, you know, some sheep and some chickens or whatever. That you still won. You still won, but you did it. You played by your rules, right? No one gets to tell you what the rules are. Got me all fired up today. I like this chapter. One of the main reasons net worth is not accurate is simply because the moment you begin selling your assets, you are taxed for any gains. That's a big one too. You know, you got to keep an eye on that. And you also got to think about depreciation, especially like stuff like vehicles. Very obviously, they're always going down. Very necessary, but it's not really an asset, right? If it's not gaining you money, obviously it's getting you to work and stuff. So it is an asset in that way. But as far as the investment side of it, it is a liability because they go down. One of the main reasons net worth is not accurate simply because, oh, we already read that one. So once a dollar goes in, I like this one. Once a dollar goes into the asset column, never let it come out. Think of it this way. Once a dollar goes into the asset column, it becomes your employee. The best thing about money is that it works 24 hours a day and can work for generations. Oh, I love that one, guys. Once a dollar goes into your asset column, it becomes your employee. The best thing about money is that it works 24 hours a day. It can work for generations. Oh, man. Once a dollar becomes in your asset column, think about that. That money is now working for you. It's doing its job while you're sleeping, right? Right? So every cent of that counts, guys. That's what I'm talking about. Every cent of it counts. Whatever means you have to do to start, you know, tracking your expenditures, compare it to your income, and realize there's probably a lot more wiggle room than you realize. I mean, there's another thing later I want to read. I don't know who idea came up with it specifically, but we'll find out. We're going to read it to you somewhere down the line. It's talking about if you're in like a couple, if you live with somebody, is to get to the point where you're living off of one person's income and the whole rest of it gets stashed away. Because most of us are living very frivolously, and then we're getting frustrated with our situations. Let's make a change. That's all I'm saying. So next quote is, an important distinction is that rich people buy luxuries last, while the poor and middle class tend to buy luxuries first. I think we kind of beaten that one down already, but it's a very good point. We want to be holding off for the long-term payout, guys, that delayed gratification. That's going to be important. And then the last one, the poor and the middle class buy luxuries with their own sweat, blood, and child's inheritance. So it's kind of a follow-up to the last one. You're really talking about long-term damage financially anytime that you're putting yourself down into debt. Because not only now do you have to dig out, but now all that money and the opportunities that passed you by, they're gone. You're working uphill, right? So a lot of us really, we got to get back down to basics. We got to be like, am I paying too much for my car? Am I paying too much for my house? But even beyond that, some of these things are necessary in the short term. It's not to say that, you know, you need to nitpick every single expense, but you really should get yourself a better idea of your overall picture and start making yourself a plan. And then there's a point here, I think he says a little bit later, it's a little tough, but it's savers or losers, right? It's saying like just sitting that money in that savings account, you're losing. And it's by two ways. One, you're not making any investments. You're not really truly making it grow. And most of the time that interest that you're like that 0 point, whatever, it's barely even catching inflation if it even is. So just by it sitting in there, it's losing its value. Isn't that crazy? Most of us just accept it. And then our checking accounts, a lot of us do those. A lot of us get nothing. You get nothing. That savings, that money that's working for you, it's not working for you. He's lazy. That's your lazy employee. You gotta crack the whip. Like, hey, dude, get to work. What are you doing sitting in the bank? Getting freaking, you know, fat or whatever. Now I'm just being silly, but so yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. This was a little bit of a shorter chapter. I think one that had some really great points in it. I want to flip back here to see if there's a couple things, see if we missed any of these bigger bullet points I wrote down. No, that's about it. I mean, right now, though, as we all know, we're going through some times. Some things are unsure, but I would say even more than ever, these are going to be very important words. I know a lot of people out there, and my heart goes out to you, that you may not be so sure about your job right now. But just stay tough. I can tell you that. And any of this extra money that's coming in, you know, especially for the unemployment people that are getting that, some of you are maybe making more money than ever. You know, funny enough, but put it aside. Don't buy the new big TV and get the new phone and, you know, like put that money aside, guys, and start thinking about what it can do for you. You know, make it your employee, make it start working, right? That's the way we're going to break this cycle. And you know, I want that for you guys as much as I want it for myself. I truly do. I truly do. So let's see what we can do. We're going to keep working together. That's about it for today. Please and thank you. Anyone that does watch, if you want to leave a comment, you know, I will read them. I do appreciate them. And I feel like we can really get there together. We're probably a little over a third way through this book. It's not the biggest book ever, but there's a lot of hard-hitting points. Moving on, I'll kind of take some feedback to see if we want to stay, you know, in that same financial area. I know we have some expertise throughout the people that I know, far as different kind of topics we can go through. But if you guys are really loving this, we'll stay in this. And we'll probably end up with another Kiyosaki book, I bet, by the end of it, too. So once again, guys, it's Here's Me Podcast. I'm Mike Petrullo, and I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you.